Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable, respected, beloved elders, brothers and our young ones in Islam, one very amazing aspect of the personality and the character of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that in many ayat of the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describes his character and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses him directly. One or two examples, and the importance of this is that this is a certification from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala directly to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These verses, these ayat of the Quran, we have heard on various occasions. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were harsh, hard-hearted, then that group of sahaba would have disbanded from you, they would have left you. So what we understand, that what kept Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum always in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deriving benefit was the fact that our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that akhlaq, that character, that heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that drew Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum closer and closer to him. We have heard the incidents on many occasions. Sayyidina Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that sahabi that would remain in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam almost every minute of every hour of every day. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would retire to bed, that sahabi would lie across the doorstep of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was this? This was that magnet of a heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when we look at the other ayat, the other verses of the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Again, a very direct address to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent you but as a rahmah to mankind. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ And O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are on a lofty status of character, of personality, of demeanor. And we see that Allah directly addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on these matters. As a matter of fact, Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahumullah has made a very diligent response or commentary of this ayah, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. what was it that brought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that lofty state? The gist of it is that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with anyone, be it on a domestic level with the Azwaj Mutahharat, with his honorable wives radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, be it on a social level with anyone, be it on a business transactional level, that when he would be dealing with anyone, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always mindful of Allah. Whilst there was an interaction, there may have been an exchange of words, there may have been the touch of a body, there may have been the glance of the eye, but that heart was always linked with Allah. Now Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahumullah makes this pertinent observation. Brothers and friends, just a minute of reflection for me and for all of us, that when we're dealing with someone, be it our wives, be it our parents, be it in the business field, be it in the social field, are we really, really conscious that Allah observes the interpersonal relationship? Are we really, really conscious that Allah hears the words, Allah observes the terms, Allah watches, looks at the body language, Allah knows what is in our heart? If Allah give us that much of a reality of this, we will see there will be a change in our lives, and there will be a change in the lives of the people around us and their reaction towards us. Today the difficulty we have is that we exclude Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala whenever there is an interaction with a human being. And that creates a lot of difficulties in our lives. But nonetheless, we take it one step forward, that whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this compassion, whilst he had the akhlaq and the character and the personality, the demeanor, together with that, amongst the salient qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I would like to discuss very briefly, was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's extreme love for his ummah. The month of Rabiul Awwal has dawned upon us. It is more than expected that the talk be on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us heighten that expectation, make dua to Allah that whatever is discussed, Allah gives me the reality and Allah gives us all the reality. Amongst these, say, the salient quality is that extreme love that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for this ummah. In the Mubarak hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that every Nabi was given one dua. That dua was more accepted and answered by Allah than all the other duas. Anbiya alayhi salam, they were mustajabu da'wat. But over and above that, there was one dua that Allah had given that was most certainly, undoubtedly accepted. You know, we speak about guarantee, we speak about warranty, we speak about an extended warranty. Here, the Nabi and every Nabi's duas are accepted by Allah. But this is one that will never ever go begging. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every Nabi utilized the opportunity of that dua in this world before he left. But I have delayed, I've deferred that dua for the day of Qiyamah, for the shafa'at and the intercession of my ummah. Again, if we just internalize this, if we were to come to know some way that this is the moment that Allah is going to accept my dua, we ask ourselves the question, what would I ask for? But dear Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reserves and preserves this dua for his ummah. Does that not show us that wonderful love that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for this ummah? Sayyiduna Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once we were on the way to Madina Munawwara from Makkah by a place called Azrawa, a very unique incident took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something that was not habitual, was not normal routine. And that was, he dismounted from his animal, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands, and for a long moment he made dua. On completing that dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes into sajda, and again for long moments he remains in the sajda, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands, and again he lifts his hands and he makes dua, and again long moments pass, and again for the second time he goes into sajda, lengthy sajda, and then he comes up for the third time. On the third occasion, again the lengthy dua, and again the third sajda that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made. When he had completed, obviously it was not routine. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum looked amazed, they looked surprised that this is something not normal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the facial expressions of Sahaba, and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to them that I dismounted the animal and I made dua to Allah. The dua that I made, O Allah, grant me the gift of intercession for my ummah. O Allah, grant me the gift of intercession for my ummah. He says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's response, wahi comes down, you've been granted the gift of intercession for 1/3 of your ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not stop there. He said, I went into sajda to make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then I stood up again, and again I made dua to Allah. And brothers, guess what? The same dua, O Allah, grant me the gift of intercession for my ummah. Allah's response came, another third. 2/3 of the ummah we've granted you. And again the third time I made dua, and again I made dua, O Allah, grant me the gift of intercession for my ummah. And Allah Ta'ala said 3/3 of the ummah. In other words, I've given you the gift of intercession, you may intercede on behalf of your ummah on the day of Qiyamah. And we know the hadith, the famous hadith, that you will go into sajda, praise Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with words that he had never praised Allah before. Allah will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'asak, sal tu'ta, lift your head and ask. And what will be the asking? Rabbi ummati, Rabbi ummati, oh my Rabb, my ummah, oh my Rabb, my ummah. We understand from these few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the relationship that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with this ummah. Friends, Allah give us the tawfiq, Allah give us the ability, Allah give us the courage and the strength to create in our hearts a space for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is a burning ummah, an ummah that does not have much support, we know, in Gaza. And for them our hearts will go out. And at this stage let's make dua that Allah Ta'ala change the conditions. Allah Ta'ala protect them, Allah give them the strength, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give them the courage to continue the resistance. But on the other hand, the broader ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what has happened to us? those around us, our families, our communities, the person standing next to us in salah, leave the person standing next to us, the person standing in front of us in salah. We've lost that love for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person by the name of Abu Idris Khawlani, rahimahumullah, he was amongst the leading tabi'een. He hailed from Damascus, and he narrates a very unique incident that had taken place. He said, I went to the masjid in Damascus, and there in Damascus, I saw this person. Brilliant face, and outstanding was the shine on his teeth. I noticed something very unique about this man, that whatever he said, people accepted. And there was never a dispute or an argument after he had spoken. This probably could be some of the masail of deen or whatever it may have been. Then Abu Idris Khawlani, rahimahumullah, says, I went home, and the next day I decided to come earlier so that I could have the opportunity of being in the company of this person alone. When I got to the masjid, the man was engaged in salah. When I asked the people, who is this person? They said, he is Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Obviously we know he was a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A'lamun nas bil halali wal haram, mufti hadhihi al ummah. He was most knowledgeable insofar as the regulations of what is halal and what is haram is concerned. And he was also regarded as the mufti of this ummah. So he said, when he had completed the salah, I went in front of him. And of course, after the salam, I made a statement, Inni uhibbuka lillah. Certainly, I love you for the sake of Allah. Certainly, I love you for the sake of Allah. The person, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to reconfirm, he asked, Allah, do you love me only for the sake of Allah? He said, I love you only for the sake of Allah. Again, to reaffirm, do you love me only for the sake of Allah? He replied, I love you only for the sake of Allah. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, in other words, this is a hadith qudsi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbina fi. My muhabba, my love, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes compelling for people who love for my sake. My love, the love of Allah, becomes compelling for people who love for my sake. Friends, if we want the love of Allah, this is a very easy way of gaining the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or maybe easier said than done, is to create that space in our hearts, to create that love in our hearts. See, enmity is very easy to come into the heart. Weeds grow very fast, but flowers and roses take a long time. And we need to really work on this, to create that love only for the sake of Allah, for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, wajabat mahabbati lil mutajalisina fi. My muhabbat is compulsory, it is compelling on any group of people that sit together only for my love. And the third part of it is that people who give sadaqah only for my sake, my love becomes compelling. Brothers and friends, in one hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam depicts this picture of the day of Qiyamah, that an announcer will announce, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ فِي, where are those people who loved each other because of me? Now this is an announcement that will surprise everyone. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is the day of Qiyamah, not Jannah, the day of Qiyamah, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would prepare such pulpits, such members, that will be so glittering, and Allah ta'ala will clad them with such clothing that will be so exclusive that even the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam and the Shuhada will have envy in their hearts for these individuals. And who are these individuals? Once again, people who loved only for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. People who loved each other only for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In one hadith, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seven people that will be under the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, amongst them are those who loved each other only for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Friends, when we look at the hadith of our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says once, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I were sitting, and he made a dua, Allahumma ghfir li Aishata ma taqaddama min dhanbiha wa ma ta'akhkhar wa ma asarrat wa ma a'lanat. O Allah, forgive Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha those sins that she has sent forth, those sins that she had concealed, those sins that she had revealed. In other words, every sin of hers, O Allah, forgive those sins. Sayyid Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha understood the value of this dua. Sometimes we sit and think about it. How many of us are making dua for spouses? Are we asking Allah to forgive them? Or are we pulling out the faults? Are we finding those faults? Or are we asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to forgive them? So Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in her elation, in the narration it comes that she began to sway from one side to the other, from left to right, extreme joy. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Aisha, are you elated because of the fact that I made this dua for you? She replied, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, oh Aisha, I make this dua for my ummah after every salah. I make this dua for my ummah after every salah. What will motivate this will be the love of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great Imam Ghazali rahimahumullah used to say, people proclaim and they profess the love of Allah, but if they cannot love the ummah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is a dead claim that they are making. It is an empty slogan that they are calling out. On the one hand, we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala demonstrated this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah. On the other hand, we find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaking so glowingly about the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ruhama'u bainahum. Allah ta'ala says, ashidda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama'u bainahum. When it came to the matters of the disbelievers, they were firm, they were stern. But on the other hand, ruhama, amongst themselves, they were very kind, they were very compassionate to each other. So we find this coming over to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And friends, we know that our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his whole life he spent in building the ummah. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their whole life they built this ummah and they expanded this ummah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us also the tawfiq. Allah give us the ability also that we create that space in our hearts. That Allah ta'ala give us that love for each and every ummati of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immaterial. So coming back, Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahumullah's words, that if we want to have a glimpse of this beautiful akhlaq of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was described by our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His akhlaq, his character was the Qur'an. We need to imbibe in us to understand, to realize and to build that in every relationship we have with anyone, every interaction we have with any individual, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is observing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all-knowing, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward us if we do it according to the way Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to do. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq and the ability and the strength to create within us the love for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala relieve this ummah of all the difficulties. May Allah ta'ala assist those that are attempting to defend this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala change the halat and the conditions of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.